Morning, Glenridge. Samuel here. Trust you guys are well. I want to quickly talk to you about identity this morning. Feel it's an important aspect of walking to God's promises, that we know who we are, so that when we respond to God's call to take hold of what He calls us to, that there's nothing hindering us from taking hold of what He calls us to, because we're not struggling with who we are. So I want to look at it from an aspect of a non-transferable right. That identity is a non-transferable right. And what that means is that we possess identity, but we don't own it. Of course, the world tells us differently. The world says that we make our own identities and we self-identify and so on. But Scripture says to us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And that tells us that God's own image and His likeness has been given to us to possess. But God owns the right to that image and likeness. So to give us a bit more depth in this, is you can look at Ruth chapter 4. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but there we can see an example of property rights. And that is a non-transferable right in this context of Ruth and Israel and so on. And so what that essentially meant is, because we understand that God gave Israel the land to possess, and what that meant, if someone gets desperate and hungry, and they sell the land to for food or whatever to live, that a family member can buy that land back from whoever bought that land, so that they can keep the land in Israel because it was given to them by God. That's the one reason. The other reason is also that the name of the person who owns the land, or rather who possesses the land, that their name may be perpetuated as well throughout the years and so on. So in Ruth's case, Naomi had come back, life having dealt harshly with her, and she lost her husband and her sons, but she came back with a daughter-in-law, and she's looking to sell the land of her late husband so that she can get some food and live. And then Boaz realizes that he cannot redeem this land because he is second in line. There is actually someone first in line who is closer to the late husband that has first rights to redeem it. So he offers it to this man that he may redeem it. And then he says he will. And then Boaz tells him that if you do, you also get Ruth, which is the widow of the late, the guy that passed away. And then the redeemer says, oh, actually, I can't do that, because if I do that, I have to perpetuate his name, and then it'll impact my own inheritance. So he says, no, okay, you can do it, Boaz. And so Boaz does that. But what we see from that interaction is, number one, the legalities. That redemption is actually is born out of a legal process in essence. It's a legal process in a sense. It's transactional. So, you know, reversing transactions and so on. The other things that we see from that is that for redemption to take place, there has to be obviously a redeemer. And secondly, that redeemer has to be willing. So we see also in Scripture between Esau and Jacob, when Esau gave up his birthright to his brother and later sought to reverse that transaction, there was no redeemer available for him to do that, Scripture says. And Scripture says he sought it with tears, but there was no one to redeem him. And so it's not automatic that there's a redeemer available to reverse a transaction. In our case, we are fortunate that we, number one, have a redeemer that was available because Christ was sent. He was the only one that qualified to be sent. And number two, that he was willing, because he gave up his own will and said, not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. So he was available and willing. And so we see that our redemption in Christ meant that Christ has restored what we have sold illegally. We sold our identity in God, that bearing the image of God. And we see this from the Garden of Eden, right? Where the enemy went to Eve and says that if you eat from this food, you will be like God. And so he offers her an alternative identity. So it's been happening since the Garden of Eden. And so Jesus Christ then restores us for the multiple transactions that we've made around our identities, into our careers or you know, various things we've made identity. We've sold our identity into various streams as part of our sinful behavior. But the calling that we have over our lives, that God calls over us, God calls us as sons and daughters. And so the work that Scripture describes it is, that God has prepared for us to do, is suited for sons and daughters. And so if the calling of God is for sons and daughters, but we have sold our identity into something else, then naturally there's going to be clashes and, and pulling and tugging and resistance as we walk into the calling of God. And so it's important for us that we understand that part of the redemption process is that Christ has restored the name of God over our lives, that we are the rightful image bearers of the name of God over our lives. And so in that place, we get to participate in God's calling, not from any other place, but from a place of being sons and daughters of God. So church, I hope that's been encouraging. It's been very condensed, but I hope it's been encouraging.